Well, it's hard to believe, but it is November, which means it's the time of the year when you, maybe more so than other times of the year, anticipate hearing sermons on stewardship and money and your giving to First Presbyterian Church. And now, in all honesty, you are going to hear a little bit more about finances in the next month, and you are going to receive information in a lot of different ways. In fact, Peggy Yoder, just this morning, is going to take a few minutes to talk about our endowment funds later in the service. And so it's that type of information that we do want to put in your hands. I'll be sending out a letter here in the next week or so that'll kind of give you an update on where we are with our budget cycle and what we anticipate in terms of ministry in the next year. But I want to remind you that stewardship is a term that speaks broadly to many other things beyond just finances. Stewardship speaks to the way we use our gifts, to the way we live our life, to the way that we steward not just our finances, but our people, our congregation, our staff, this building. And so there are a lot of things to take into consideration when we talk about stewardship. And I just feel like at least this year, in this month, I want to speak more around the idea of stewarding our vision and mission than I do stewarding our funds, because it's important that our lights stay on. It's important that we have heat. It's important that we steward and maintain this building. But all of that is for nothing if we're not living into the calling that God has placed on our individual and collective lives. If we're not being who God has called First Presbyterian Church to be, to what good is it that all of these other things happen? Now, our vision is transforming lives in Jesus' name. And we've been kind of holding on to that vision for a while. And as I have prayed about that, even over the last few months, I feel like that is still a vision that speaks to the calling that God gives us as disciples of Jesus Christ to go into the world and help transform lives. And we're always doing that in and through the ministry of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. But if you'll remember, about a month or so ago, I was taking a shower before coming to worship. You'd be glad to know that I usually do that on Sunday mornings. And felt like the Lord gave me four words that were to speak to how we're to go about living out that vision. And if you'd recall, those four words were encounter, equip, encourage, and engage. And so what I hope to do is to take each of the next 4 weeks, including today, to talk about each of those four words and how they speak to our mission. And so this morning we'll be talking about our mission of encounter. Our mission of encounter. Now, in just a few moments, I'm going to read our scripture reading from this morning, taken from Romans chapter 8. I just want to say this about this passage. Like most of Romans, it's highly theological. Paul's really doing a lot of work here to help the early church to understand the theology of faith in Jesus Christ and what that means to them as believers and what it means to the church, both Israel and the Gentile nations. And yet, in the midst of this letter, I want you to especially notice the nature of the relationship that Paul anticipates between God and God's people. A relationship that I believe he was experiencing. And so I ask you this question: is this a God who is far off, distant from us? Or is this a God who desires to be close by, intimate, dwelling within and among us, in deep relationship with his people? With that in mind, I invite you to bow your heads and join me in prayer. Father God, in the strong name of Jesus, I do ask that you would send your Spirit upon us. Holy Spirit, we know that you dwell within us. And so we ask that you would raise our awareness of all the ways that you are present in us and among us and with us here this morning. May we not just speak and hear about encountering you, Lord, but on this day, may we truly say, we've encountered God. We've sensed your presence. we know that you are with us and among us. And to that, we thank you. Holy Spirit, transform these words so that they are the words of the living Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Open our hearts to receive them, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. From Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. And since the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through the Spirit that dwells in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I believe it was 1992, if I did my math correctly, which would have been the summer between my freshman and sophomore year. Now, when I say 1992, summer between my freshman and sophomore year, some of you are thinking, wow, he's getting old. And then others are you like, man, he's just a kid. Be what it may, it feels like a long time ago. But I went with Young Life to Lake Champion in New York. It was my first time going to Young Life camp. It was my first time experiencing that ministry. And it was one of the first times my mind was actually blown, because what we experienced that week was far, far more than I would have ever dreamed I would have experienced. I thought I was going to a church camp. It ended up being like this luxury resort that just happened to be in the mountains. And I had the time of my life. I also had a very real encounter with God. It was an incredible week. And what still happens at every Young Life camp is each evening and a few times during the day, they gather all 450 to 500 high school students in one space, and they share the gospel. They talk about the different components of the gospel, and they lay it out in a way that allows students to just dwell on and consider how God might be speaking to their heart and to their life. And they always have a night that they call kind of the crosstalk, but it's the night that they kind of bring home the gospel message and talk about Christ dying on the cross for our sins and how Christ comes to us and offers us the salvation in him. And then they send everybody out into the camp, and for 20 minutes, the camp is in complete silence. They even turn off a lot of the lights. Every worker, every crew, all of the grounds, every person knows that for that 20 minutes, it's going to be complete silence on the campground. It's probably the only 20 minutes of silence at that camp for the entire week. And so the contrast is drastic. I mean, you sense it and you feel it. And I remember walking down, and I'd grown up in the church. I'd heard the gospel, but something just felt different to me that night as I heard those words and I considered how they might impact my life. And I remember going down and sitting down on a beach and looking up at the sky, and it was a beautiful night, clear as could be. I think I even saw a few shooting stars, which I'm sure I interpreted as God speaking directly to me. But I did sense what I would now say, I wouldn't have used those terms then, I sensed the Spirit of God descend upon that camp. And not only that, I specifically sensed God's presence with me. For what may have been the first time in my life, someone who I'd heard about, read about, talked about, I actually sensed present with me in that moment. And I didn't just sense God's presence with me, I sensed God's love for me. I sensed God's love for me, and that blew me away. That the one who created all of the stars that I was looking at in the sky, that created the beauty of the camp that we were at, that created all of that, would also look upon me, make himself present with me, and give me a deep sense of his love for me. I experienced in a very real way the real presence of a loving God that night. And it shaped me. It shaped me in a way that I can still recall it today in a very real way. You see, I believe that this type of encounter is what God wants for all of us. And even in the midst of this passage that we read from Romans 8, even in the midst of Paul making these theological arguments, did you notice how much he talked about the Spirit of God dwelling within? It's like four times in just a couple verses. He talks about how God's Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, dwells within us. Talks about how we can be led by the Spirit. And I don't believe that Paul is referring to times when we have to make major decisions in our life. But I believe Paul means daily. That in our daily lives, we can have a relationship with God where we are led by the Spirit of God himself. That we're adopted as children of God. That we can look upon God the Father, the creator of all things, and call him Abba, which today would be best translated as daddy. But that's the type of relationship God desires to have with us. Is this a God that's far off and distant? No, this is a God who desires to be close by, with us and among us and even within us. You see, from the beginning to the end and all throughout the middle, the Bible reveals a God who encounters his people and seeks to do so more frequently than we might ever consider or realize. Think about the personal encounters of God that we read about in the Old Testament. I mean, just think about, too, Abraham's calling and Moses' calling. I mean, that's early on. That they had encounters with God that drastically shaped and transformed and caused them to do a 180 with their life in service to the Lord. Think about how God came through God's presence to the people with the pillars of fire and smoke, and how God's presence would descend upon the tabernacle and eventually the temple. That this was a God who even then was wanting to dwell among his people. The message that God gave to the believers that we read about in those scriptures that came through dreams and visions and angels and other messengers, the judges, the prophets, the priests, the kings. God used and spoke to and through all of these people to communicate his love and desire to be in relationship with his people. And certainly there were periods that we would say the silent years. And yet, God was present, moving and shaping all things according to the divine plan. So that God himself comes and dwells among us in the person of Jesus Christ. The Word came and lived, dwelled among us. The incarnation takes place, and Emmanuel comes to be present amongst God's people. So all who came into a relationship with Jesus Christ at that time were having personal encounters with God in and through Jesus Christ. The hundreds, the thousands of people that had powerful moments with Christ, these kingdom encounters where they experienced not just the presence, but the power of the kingdom of God as God came to be among his people. The messages and the teachings that Christ gave both to individuals and to the many, the masses. Yes, the preaching, the teaching, the healing, the modeling of a kingdom way of life that Christ came to offer us. And I don't believe this was just so that we can tell stories of a Jesus who lived 2,000 years ago and did these amazing things. You see, I believe Jesus was both making a way possible and then modeling for us the way that we can live a kingdom lifestyle even now, even today, even in our daily lives. That the same ministry and mission that we read about then is a ministry and a mission available to us today. That we too can have these personal encounters with God. It continues on in Scripture from Pentecost throughout the New Testament, and even Revelations ends with this beautiful vision of God again coming, returning to dwell among us, to be among his people. Just some more scriptural examples. And again, hear how God's desire is to be with us and among us. John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. How does John define eternal life? In knowing God. Now that knowing is a relational knowing. It's not just an intellectual knowing. It's when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, eternity itself is coming to us and ushering us into what will be an eternal relationship with God. On All Saints Day, I think it's important that we would just remind ourselves how truly thin the veil is between us and those who have gone before us. We often speak that they've entered into eternity. Well, according to this passage, so have we who know God in Jesus Christ. We have opportunities to encounter the eternal God even now. Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, again, Paul is talking all this theology, but then he begins to talk about our sufferings. He says, we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. Hope does not disappoint us because what? God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. You see, God's present. We can encounter God even in our suffering and our trials because God's love has come and dwells within us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 says, we are the temple of the living God. That God comes and dwells through his Spirit within us. And we carry that presence everywhere we go because God's very presence is within us. And it's that presence that will continue to form us and shape us and make us more Christ-like as we journey in our faith. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, this familiar prayer that we know of Paul's, where he prays that we would be strengthened in our inner being with power through the Spirit, that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith as we're rooted and grounded in love. and goes on to pray that we would know this love more and more, the depth of this, through the power that's at work within us. This is not a far-off God. This is a God who desires that we would encounter this living God each and every day, because this living God dwells within us. And even in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 and 7, these verses that we read and we're like, really? This is, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, Paul says. And we're like, yeah, right. I'll try that today. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And so what I often say to people is, let our anxiety be a pathway into prayer. That's the invitation here. Paul's not saying you're never going to be anxious. He's saying when you are anxious, allow that to form a prayer in your heart. Why? Because you can take that to the God who is near. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, this is what I would say about this. We know the anxiety is real because an awful lot of us in this room live it and feel it and experience it. Paul would be crazy to tell us to take this to the Lord in prayer if the peace he knows we could experience wasn't as equally real. And why is that peace as equally real? Because he tells us the Lord is near. And so when we call upon the Lord who is near, not a far-off God, when we call upon the Lord who is near, whose Spirit dwells within us, that peace of God can come. We can experience that peace even in the midst of the trials and the struggles and the anxiety. I wonder what our expectations are of our relationship with God. I was playing with this idea a little bit this morning about just thinking about my experience at that Young Life camp when I had this encounter with God. You see, I think that what I believed that day started to form faith in me. I think there was a distinction between those two things, at least in my life. I believed God. I believed about Jesus. I had prayed I don't know how many times to receive Jesus Christ because I grew up in a context where I would be given two options. Die a sinner and go to hell, or say this prayer and go to heaven. Who wants to raise their hand and say the prayer? Duh. I believed all of that stuff, but faith began to form in me that night when I experienced the very real presence with God. What's our expectation for ourselves? Do we simply expect to believe the things that we've learned, to believe the things we've read, important things, to believe all that has been formed in us? Or do we expect faith to be formed? A faith that doesn't just believe, but expects God to show up, expects God to be here, expects the very presence of God to come, dwell within us and among us. You see, it's nearly impossible to give something away that we don't possess ourselves. Now, I think in my life, I'll speak for myself, there's a lot of times that I failed to enter into prayer for someone because my faith was weak. You see, I might meet someone outside, or I may be talking to a friend, and they may be telling me about their struggles and their trials. Now, what do I believe? I believe that God says that he can show up in the midst of those struggles and trials. But I think a lot of my life, I've had this weak faith where I'm like, I'm kind of nervous to pray for this person because what if Jesus doesn't show up? And what if they don't experience that peace? And so my expectations are expectations of actually lack of faith. But when we can begin to have the faith that God is near and God will show up and God will be present, I believe that it gives us the boldness to begin to minister for the Lord, to take that next step of prayer. I had this friend in college, and he was an engineering major. He's actually a church planter now out in Philadelphia. I haven't talked to him probably since college. But he was one of those people where every single time you had a conversation and you told him about what was going on in your life, you were not leaving before he laid his hands on you and prayed for you. And I just remember thinking, I want to be that type of person that has the type of faith that believes that our God is a God who desires to encounter us, to encounter those in our community. How do we begin to possess that ourselves? I believe the start of it is to be awakened to it. And maybe even this morning, some of us are saying, you know, that does sound pretty good. I could use some of that in my life. And so I would say, let's make ourselves available to it. Let's say, okay, Lord, I want to experience you. I'm making myself available to you and to your presence. Let's pray and ask God to raise our awareness. We know that God is present all around us, within us. The reason we don't always sense it or feel it or see it is because we're not aware of it. Our focus is on so many other things in this life. And so, Lord, raise our awareness of how you are among us and around us and within us. And then allow the Spirit to work. Because trust me, we can fight it. We can quench the Spirit. So we want to allow the Spirit to do the work. And then I believe we will naturally begin to act upon that because the fruits of the Spirit are already within us, and Scripture says that we will be giving gifts of the Spirit that will empower us to live into whatever call each of us has. And so the doing, the acting part, will be natural and easy, will feel like freedom to us when we're allowing ourselves to experience the presence of the Lord. God will then be glorified. The good news of the kingdom of God will be proclaimed. We will be able to go into the community and say, God is here. Salvation has come. We can speak to the redemption, the reconciliation, the restoration that God desires for us in the world. And what I would say of us, if we want to truly embrace this idea of God encountering us in the world, is that there should be no more empty words. No more empty words. No more talk about who we are and what we believe and who God is without a faith that comes alongside and believes that that God is actually doing the things that we speak. God is here. God is alive. God is at work. And I've seen that. I've witnessed that in some of your lives in a great way, in this faith community. And I hope you have too. Lord, open our eyes to that. That we might encounter the living God. You know, I think that the Lord knows that these things are going to be hard for us. I think that's why Scripture talks about this struggle that we'll have with the flesh. And so he wants to help us. He wants to give us signs. He wants to give us tools that we can use to encounter the living God. And that's what this meal is in part intended to do. It's intended to be something that we can touch, something that we can taste, a very real and tangible way to experience the presence of God among us. A means of grace, a sacrament, a gift from the Lord to help make real to us what our faith believes and proclaims. And yet it's more than a symbol, because through the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when we partake of these elements, we are partaking of the very person of Jesus Christ himself, his body and blood, poured out for us to nourish us, to strengthen us, to help us experience the love and mercy and grace and forgiveness that God the Father has for us. so that we can encounter, even here, even through these elements, so that we can encounter the very God Himself. And having had that encounter, go offer that to the world. See, friends, this is more than just something we do once or so a month to remember that Jesus died on the cross for us. This is a meal. This is an opportunity. This is God's gift to us that we might encounter the living God. Would perhaps we unite our faith one another? Maybe individually our faith is still weak, but as a community, if we unite our faith, it becomes a strong faith, a bigger faith. I just wonder if we can unite our faith this morning. Faith that Christ Himself, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is here and present, desires to nourish us and strengthen us, wants to meet us in this place and bring us in a deeper union with God and with one another. May this be an encounter with the living God. Please join me in prayer. Lord God, this is our desire. This is our heart cry. We may not know it, but deep within each of us, our greatest desire is to be in union with you, to experience your love, to know that you have welcomed us into your kingdom, into your family, and provided us a seat at your table. In some way this morning, we ask that you would give each of us a very real encounter with you, our living God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that in the same way that I sensed your presence so many years ago in a real way, that each of us here this morning would sense you among us and within us, that would sense the love that you have for us, that your love, Lord, would just descend upon us and help us to know that we are here and we are home, that we belong. We thank you, Lord, that you're not a distant God, that you're not a God who just set all of this in motion and now sits back and watches for your own enjoyment. But you are a God who desires to be among your people, not just among, but within us. Raise our awareness of how you are present, how you seek to shape and guide us and nurture us and especially walk with us this and every day. Holy Spirit, come and do your work in ministry at this table and through these elements. Bring us into the very presence of Christ Himself. We ask in His strong name. Amen.